Welcome to the Whole Hog Podcast.
My main concern is I just want to do the best damn job I can for the University of Arkansas.
I got a question for you, though, Scotty. Do you know that there's other players on our team besides Desi?
Whoever we had on the plane is all we need. Turn that damn jukebox. Turn it up!
Now, here's your host, Seth Campbell.
Welcome into the Whole Hog Reaction Show. Seth Campbell joined via Zoom by Scotty Bordelon. And, well, Scotty, it was a rare trip down to College Station for the Razorbacks, and they left with what is becoming all too common in the series with A&M. A 42-31 loss to the Aggies makes it 9 straight losses to the Aggies, which Arkansas still leads the overall series, which is what all Razorback fans are holding on to.
Right. I saw a bunch of that after the game on Twitter.
A bunch of people are holding on to that. But listen, this was a top 10 A&M team for a reason. Like, Arkansas's defense was playing good up until this point. And really, they were playing great, let's be honest. But like, A&M showed a few flaws in the Arkansas defense to where, you know, they aren't the best defense in the entire country. And, you know, A&M, through having a quarterback that, as Sam Pittman believes, has been there through the 20s, and Kellen Mond, that's 4-0 against Arkansas, and then a senior, experienced, laden offensive line, like, the Arkansas defense fell back to earth. And that's not terrible. Like, that happens because you are playing a team that, in all honesty, looks like one of the top, we'll call them top 4 for sure, maybe top 2, for sure top 3, I think, as well, teams in the SEC.
Yeah, for sure. What you saw was, I think, A&M is kind of one of the more efficient, effective, precise offenses in the league. Like, you saw that. It's a combination of, you know, Kellen Mond's been around for a while. He was precise. He did not – I can count, like, on 2 fingers the number of throws that he really missed. And the rest of the time, he was finding his receivers in windows. And we kind of talked about how Texas A&M skill players, like those at the players at the skill positions, kind of depleted. But the names we talked about all week were the ones that really burned Arkansas. Like, Kellen Mond found Jalen Wattermyer way too often. I mean, I remember a 20-yard completion on like a 3rd and 17, 14-yard gain on 3rd and 7. And then he also had that, it's not even to mention the 2 touchdowns that he had, and then the 32-yard completion that he had that set up another touchdown. He was a real problem. And just A&M did a really good job of, you know, finding the holes in Arkansas' zone. And Arkansas threw all kinds of different looks at Texas A&M, but they seemingly – I mean, they just had an answer for everything, because, you know, it also wasn't just Isaiah Spiller in the run game too. Like, Anaya Smith was solid. And then Devon Achane. I mean, he came in and I think his second carry went for 30 yards and a touchdown. That's a pretty balanced and explosive Texas A&M offense. And I think Kellen Mond's the best quarterback Arkansas has seen to this point in the season. And, you know, if you've got competent quarterback play, they can, you know, fit some passes into some tight windows, you know, you might have a good shot to, you know, do some damage against this Arkansas defense.
And listen, there were positives to take away from this game. We'll get to those here, especially on the offensive side. But just 2 things that I kind of gleaned from this game is, one, when you talk to a lot of guys, if you watch certain people, former players, break down film, a lot of the time they'll say, you know, football is a simple game when it comes to numbers and running the ball. Arkansas has played a 3-man front for most of the year against teams that like to throw it around. And so Arkansas tried to play the 3-man front, but they just didn't have enough numbers, it seemed like to me. And then with that experienced offensive line from Texas A&M, they were able to pick up solid yards on the ground. So Barry Odom, being a good defensive coordinator that he is, he counters. He goes with a 4-man front. But that just doesn't allow Arkansas to be as deep in the back end of their defense. And so A&M can't really run the ball as much anymore. And then that creates mismatches, though. You were talking about some of the athletes like Jalen Wattermyer. Like, he was able to find holes in the Arkansas zone. Like, when you play zone, there will be holes. It's just good defenses can make those holes seem a lot smaller than they actually are. Kellen Mond is just not going to get sped up. This is his fourth year in the SEC. He's faced defenses better than Arkansas's. And so he's just not going to get sped up on his own. You are going to have to speed him up. And Arkansas couldn't get to him in the pocket. And then it creates the mismatches that you're talking about for the big games for Weidemeyer. And, you know, Hudson Clark had a fantastic game against Ole Miss. And this is no knock on Hudson Clark, but that's not the matchup that you want. There were multiple times when Weidemeyer got out there on Hudson Clark. Like, that's no, that's not a dig at Hudson Clark. He can't guard that guy. There's not a lot of people that can guard that guy, but especially your corner versus your tight end. That's just not the matchup that you want.
No. And Kellen Mond, I mean, what we saw Saturday versus what we saw against Ole Miss, like, that's the difference between a quarterback who's a little bit, he can be a little bit haywire. And then Kellen Mond is just solid, steady, pretty consistent. I know Matt Corral threw, I mean, he basically had the exact opposite day that he had at Arkansas against Vanderbilt on Saturday, threw for like 6 touchdowns and no picks. But Kellen Mond is just consistent, hardly ever puts the ball in jeopardy. And a good quarterback's able to, you know, manipulate the zone a little bit. You know, maybe my eyes are looking this way, but then last second I'm coming back to my left and I'm finding a guy in a hole in your zone, and I'm putting those passes in tight windows, and he's doing it over and over and over again. And he was really solid. Anaya Smith was another guy. He scored a touchdown in the passing game and on the ground. You know, he had like 5 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown last year. And then this year he's like, all right, we're playing Arkansas, I think I'm going to do this again. And he had another big game. And, you know, I think Arkansas's got some things to figure out defensively. Bumper Pool was talking about how the guys were a little bit undisciplined in their zone. And so those are, I think, some of the things you're going to have to clean up, because, I mean, I think the opportunity playing Tennessee is there to kind of like Ole Miss, to pick off some passes and, you know, bait Jarrett Garitano into some mistakes. I think that's doable, but you got to clean up some of the undisciplined things that happened Saturday.
Yes, and we promise we'll get to the offense here, but that is exactly where I wanted to lead into with this defensive talk, is Arkansas's next game against Tennessee. You're exactly right. When you look at the overall body of work of Tennessee and Arkansas, you feel like Arkansas at home has a legitimate chance to win this game. It's just you're going to face another guy that has played 4 years in the league. Garantano took over halfway through his redshirt freshman year. But he's got experience in the league. I think the website says he's played like 39 games. So he's got experience. Can you speed up his clock? Because unlike Kellen Mond, their offensive line isn't as good. And so can you get him a little more uncomfortable? And then, like, as you said, tighten up the back end of the defense to where you feel safe baiting somebody into the throws, that because you're not worried about somebody coming over the top of you, and you can force Garantano into some turnovers. I think that's going to be a key when Arkansas plays Tennessee.
And getting Jalen Caglan back is going to be pretty big. Like, I think it was fairly clear, at least on a couple, if not 3, of Texas A&M's touchdowns, you know, after Jalen Caglan got disqualified, ejected, whatever, however you want to say it.
You got to say it right.
He got DQ'd, I guess, not ejected. But a couple of times, I think it was on a couple of touchdown runs, we saw, I think, a Simeon Blair just come up, and maybe it was a combination of Simeon Blair and Hudson Clark and maybe some other guys, but a couple of times really jumped out that Simeon Blair just failed to kind of make a play on a run play, and it resulted in a touchdown. And I think a guy like Jalen Caglan makes that play. And it's not to say that A&M wouldn't have scored on the next play or the play after that, but those plays are where, you know, a real playmaker and a leader in the back end of your defense really shows.
Let's move now to the positive. You're exactly right, Scotty. Jalen Caglan, having him back will be huge for the Razorbacks. Moving to the positives, I mean, we're basically going to shift sides of the ball. Starting with Felipe Franks' play, I mean, you called it basically this week, Scotty, in your story that you wrote about Franks and how he likes to play on the road. He is a different animal when it comes to playing away from home, as he showed again. Impressive first drive from the Razorbacks, who hadn't had a first down until their game against A&M where they got a touchdown. And I'm impressed with Briles' offense. I think it's taken a little bit without any spring practice and without just a lot of practices in general, these guys meeting over Zoom like we're doing now. I think it took a little while, but I think finally the offense is there. And then Rakeem Boyd as well, getting to play his former team once again, goes over 100 yards. My bold prediction cashed.
Right. That was a good call. Yeah, I liked what I saw from Arkansas in that first series. And I think it started with just success on first and second down. And you got something out of the run game. I think Rakeem Boyd going into Saturday's game, his longest rush of the season, I think it was 8 yards. And in Saturday's game, he had 5 runs of at least 8 yards. So it was good to see him, you know, getting back a little bit to the explosive running back that we've seen in the past. You know, he hasn't broken like that big long run that we saw him break, you know, several times last year. He was one of the best in the country at the, you know, kind of busting like the 70, 75 yard runs. But it was good to see him get back running, you know, kind of like you feel like he can. And it's not surprising that he kind of got back on track against Texas A&M. That's a game that he takes really personally. And I think you kind of saw some of the physicality and, you know, making a few guys miss and picking up extra yards after contact. That was a real positive. And yeah, I think it's just crazy how Felipe goes on the road and just plays so well. I think he's up to 20 touchdown passes against 4 picks on the road in his career, an absurd completion percentage. And then he goes out and he adds a career high in rushing too, and the second best rushing game of his career also against Texas A&M. So I guess he likes playing against Texas A&M a little bit, but also just Treylon Burks, I think, is emerging. I can't really say he's even emerging because I feel like he's already a star, but he's a freaking stud. Like, he's a star in this league. He's been healthy for 3 full games this season. Twice, 2 of those games are against top 10 teams, and he's got 100-plus receiving yards and at least 1 touchdown in both games. I mean, the kid is just – he's special. And I wrote in my prediction for the Tennessee game that, Garantano is probably – he's a wild card, so I like Arkansas in that game. Also, Treylon Burks is going to go for 100 yards again because it's a Saturday.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think you used the right word when describing Boyd's play against A&M, and that was explosive. He hit the holes harder than any time I had seen him this year. And that's not a measurable stat. You know, you can't go back and say that he was actually hitting the holes, but just from a perception of a person that's seen a lot of Razorback football from last year and this year, watched a lot of practice before this year, and then getting to just watch these games, he was hitting the holes hard. He was running with purpose. And to see him do that, it makes you believe that, okay, that's the Rakeem Boyd that we thought we were getting all year long. And he may not have been healthy. As Pittman said, he really hadn't been healthy since the very first game against Georgia, and then the bye week might have helped. And with that explosive back there, and then you have your change of pace back with Treylon Smith as well, Arkansas's got a good stable of running backs. And then Felipe Franks, I mentioned it on the podcast, it didn't really seem like Felipe Franks, for whatever reason, was running the ball as willingly as he did pre-injury. And we talked about it a little bit that, yeah, that might be a little bit in the back of his mind. He proved me wrong. I'll just come out and say it. He proved me wrong on Saturday. He was hitting the holes hard. He was cutting. He was leaning and falling forward. He wasn't just a willing runner. He was a threat in the run game against A&M. And I think that helped utilize and move the offense. You don't want your offense to settle for field goals. Throughout the game, Arkansas settled for field goals and missed them. But this is a glass half full here. Look at things, Scotty. At least you were in position to settle for field goals in this game. There were multiple times against Mississippi State, against Georgia, against Ole Miss, that you weren't even in position to settle. You were just back there and you're going 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out. And you're just praying that the defense holds on. So I think the offense has gotten some momentum and something that they can take forward against Tennessee, which is a good team, but not known for defensive prowess.
Yeah, I think we saw some improvements from the offense clearly coming out of the bye week. Like the first drive was intoxicating. That was a brilliant first series. It got you some points. I mean, you're finding your playmakers. Rakeem Boyd's getting going. The thing that just kind of bothers me still a little bit about this offense, and I'm sure this will get better, you know, as the season continues, perhaps. But just moving the ball pretty well from like the 30 to the 30 and then just kind of flaming out, you know, once you get inside the 30, it was irritating, I guess, a little bit to me, you know, to see Arkansas move the ball down the field once they get down to the Texas A&M 14, and then all of a sudden Treylon Burks, they dial up a Treylon Burks pass play.
That play is going to work eventually because they keep calling it, not because it's actually good.
Yeah, one of these days, I guess. And then, like, the next play goes for a loss, and then Myron Cunningham is called for a hold, and then all of a sudden you're back at, like, you're backed up to, like, the 35-yard line, and you've got to settle for a field goal again. I think Arkansas just got to, you know, clean up a few of the mistakes once they kind of get in the red area, you know, maybe just outside the red area, because I don't know that, you know, outside of the one field goal that A.J. Reed hit, I mean, 45-plus yard field goals aren't a given anymore for Arkansas, I don't think. So you got to clean up some things, and you got to try to get six when you can, just because I think the kicking game is just a little bit shaky.
You needed six in this game against A&M, as you could see. The defense, defense comes out with the very first stop, and you're thinking, okay, maybe this is, you know, defense still continuing, but you're just trying to outscore A&M after a while, and it just wasn't working. I will give Kendall Briles this. The trick play, at least this time, I think it was Treylon throwing to Mike Woods.
Yeah.
I think Mike Woods was open. Like, Treylon was getting rushed, and he had to just kind of chunk it, and that's why he went complete. The other times when Treylon has had the ball and they've run the trick play, there's just nobody open. Like, it hasn't tricked anybody. At least this time, Mike Woods was open.
Yeah, give the PBU to the Texas A&M defender's head. I think that it bounced off the back of his head, right?
Yep, you're exactly right. And you mentioned the special teams have not been special at all, and it has been a huge thorn in the side of the Razorbacks all the way through. But it is, like, it's a 45-plus yard field goal. It's not just a gimme. Yeah, it's not a
gimme, right.
So, well, you want to convert those, and in all honesty, you kick three 45-plus yards, you probably want to do two out of three. You can't bank on your kicker bailing you out every single time. You have to get the ball into the end zone and score touchdowns. That's the way that you're going to win football games in the SEC, not kicking field goals, scoring touchdowns. And I agree with you. I think that the threat from the Razorbacks whenever they are inside of their 30 diminishes for whatever reason.
I think we took Connor Limpert a little bit for granted too, because he was good. He was almost good anytime from inside 55. But those guys are rare. Yeah. I feel like, because, you mean, college kickers, there's a hashtag college kickers on Twitter for a reason. You know what I mean?
Like, it's those Alabama.
Yeah, those studs come. They don't come around every day. Not to say that AJ Reed can't be a good kicker, but Connor Limpert was special.
All right, Scotty, looking forward here on the Whole Hog podcast and the Whole Hog reaction show just a little bit. We talked a little bit about the Tennessee game, but I think that it's going to be interesting. This is a game that I would not have really considered Arkansas to have a chance in at the beginning of the season, but the way things have transpired in Knoxville and the way things have transpired in Fayetteville, this is, for me, the bettors and the people in Vegas are not going to agree with me, but I think this is a 50-50 game.
Yeah, I think so. I think the line opened at Tennessee -3, and I think it's already down to one. So, I mean, it's moving toward a pick 'em already. So, you're pretty much right on the money. You should be out in Las Vegas right now.
There you go.
But
yeah, they'd probably pay more.
Yeah, right. most jobs do. but yeah, I think this could be one of the better games of the year. Just, you know, a game that goes down to the wire, potentially, who's got the ball last, which quarterback makes the fewest mistakes. So we talked about Felipe, you know, playing, you know, so well on the road, but at home, he's thrown all three of his picks this season at home. And I think he's thrown maybe a handful of interceptable passes. A majority of those have come at home. So for whatever reason, I mean, he's got to try to clean that up. It's like Arkansas's offense, it's not clicking exactly the way you want it. So you got to take care of the football. But I think Arkansas's got a real shot in this game. It was, like I said earlier, Garantano's just, he's a wild card. And, you know, early in the year when, you know, maybe I bought into the Tennessee hype more than some people did.
I did.
I think it was because they had solid quarterback play, but now things are kind of going downhill because they can't get solid production from a quarterback, and they're throwing – I mean, they're taking out Garantano after a couple pick sixes, and then his backup comes in and throws a pick on like on his first or second pass. I mean, it's a mess. And then Arkansas's at home too. And, you know, I kind of like Arkansas's chances in this game, but I think it's going to be one of the more competitive, you know, closer games this season. I think it'll be a pretty fun game.
All right. Well, Arkansas and Tennessee, they're playing at 6:30, right? They did announce that.
Yes. Yeah. On SEC Network.
6:30 on SEC Network. It kind of seemed like the winner of the A&M Arkansas game is going to get to play on ESPN, and the loser is going to get to play on the SEC Network. Yeah, because A&M's playing South Carolina as well. I feel like the Arkansas-Tennessee game would be better. But anyway, they are playing 6:30 on SEC Network against Tennessee. It'll be a good one. Well, thank you so much for listening here on the Whole Hog Reaction Show. If you like what you're listening to, we come out with a podcast every Friday comes out to get you ready for Arkansas's upcoming game. So we'll have some insight to the Tennessee game, as well as with the season halfway through, it is time for midseason report cards, which we're going to be doing this week as well on the upcoming Whole Hog podcast. So if you like it, make sure to subscribe, make sure to share us with your friends, and we'll get you all the latest and greatest Razorback information here on the Whole Hog podcast. Well, for Scotty Bordelon, I am Seth Campbell saying so long, and I will see you back here on Friday.